welcome to another edition of Visions. I am Yudalee Wickham Ashby, and today I have my good friend and advocate, Pearl Perry Holloway. However, before we get into our discussion, I want to say a very special thank you to all of you, the listeners, who have contacted me via WhatsApp, via cell phone, email to express your gratitude for last week's program. And I think that the sentiments I heard being expressed by you demonstrate that you are thinking deeply about persons with disabilities and how you at the individual level can integrate them into our society. That means into the family network, into the work sector, all the various aspects of our lives, and I do appreciate that. So, today, as I said, Pearl Holloway is with me, and we will just have a roundtable discussion about life after, but I should say, as the term goes, post-COVID-19. I believe that COVID-19 will be with us for quite a while. However, we still have to make the necessary adjustments to normalize our society, get routines and habits and various tasks back into perspective. So let's start, Perry, by looking at what and how the COVID-19 impact persons with disabilities. We can take a global perspective and then a local perspective.
Thank you, Ridley, for allowing me to be on the program. Let me say hello, Barbados, Caribbean, and the world. I would say COVID-19 has really shifted the thinking towards disability globally. Shifted in a way that it brought a focus on disability that you would say is unprecedented. Now, the world would have been focusing on disability generally, as disability issues have been around for a very long time. But if you look at what happened in Barbados, a lot of the issues became amplified, to use a term to describe what would have happened. Amplified in a way that the issue became more apparent, more necessary to be discussed, and more urgently to be addressed. And I think because of that, it has accelerated the movement, the disability movement, in a big way. And I think that post-COVID-19 means that disability movement groups and individuals have to capitalize on the interest and focus that is being played now.
Well, I quite agree with you, because as we often hear the term, the world is our oyster, it's a global village. And we know that through the introduction of technology, accessible technology for persons with disabilities, because during this period when there was so much of remain at home, stay at home, don't go out, work remotely from home, persons with disabilities were involved in quite a lot of Zoom and other online meetings that looked at how the COVID-19 has been impacting them. Girls and women looked at children. So we were able to look at different sectors within the disability community and see how it was affecting their mental health, their physical health, how those who contracted COVID-19 were handled within the health sector. And we heard some fairly negative stories out of some of the countries in Europe and US and Canada, where persons with disabilities were not treated immediately because they were not seen as a priority. So again, the pecking order started to come into play in who some of the medical people felt were more valuable in terms of saving their lives.
You would think that there's a theory that has been bantered about for years that this disabled people don't go anywhere, and one would want to suggest that because we were under a lockdown, a curfew, some would say, well, the disabled had a problem because they're not going nowhere. But when the issue came up about going to the supermarket, and the disabled community said, well, what about us and how we will access our supermarket days, and presenting our IDs, and whether you know a disabled person by seeing them. Those were issues that were on the table for a long time. Granted, not in the way that they were presented, no, but we have been, the disabled community have been calling for some way of us being acknowledged formally by the general public. And now we have to solve that. The debate will rage on whether we will have our disability on our ID or our passport. I know some people do have it on their passport, on their ID, but now a clear policy, something that says it is so or not so, you know, some concrete way of where we're going towards that. Technology. Now, a lot of disabled organizations are using Zoom to have their monthly meeting. That cuts down on transportation costs, and it has become a new normal for having meetings. And yet to see what will happen, say 6 months from now, or a year from now, if we will still be using the Zoom platform to have meetings. But it certainly looks like it will be what we are calling the new normal, and this benefits the disabled community in a way. Now, we all know that sometimes too far left is right, or too far right is left, wherever direction you want to go. And we know that in the disabled community, we talk about interaction. And interaction with disabled persons and quote-unquote non-disabled persons is necessary. And one of the concerns, I was going to say a fear, but one of the concerns that I have is that because 2020 now has become a time where electronic commerce, social media communication, Zoom platform, what have you, the element of social interaction has been taken away quite a bit. And we even have social distancing. And social distancing for the disabled has been around for a long time. And that's another debate that we can have 10 programs on. And we know that social distancing, as it relates to disabled over the years, has been a negative thing. And one of the things that we have to be cautious about moving forward is how the new normal will affect us socially and the social interaction that the disabled need. Because part of that social interaction is necessary for educating non-disabled persons about disability. And that is a tool that we would have used over the years to really move what we want to move forward in a way that gets people sensitized to the life of a disabled person. And there's not a lot of that because of the situation that we're under, this is now the new normal. So we will have to find new ways. I just rightfully said, we may have COVID-19 around for a very long time, which means that we now have to find new innovative ways of having that person-to-person contact. Person-to-person contact doesn't necessarily mean that I'm suggesting to the general public that the disabled wants you to come and rehold each other and embrace each other and touch up and that kind of thing. We are talking about having another person in your personal space or in your personal close environment, enough for two of us to understand each other.
Well, Terry, you have raised quite a few topics or issues there. The one in terms of using the technology to our advantage and allowing persons with disabilities who have the capacity, because we all must bear in mind that there are individuals who are definitely physically and intellectually unable to perform certain tasks. But those who are able to can do online banking, they can use the online facilities to do quite a lot in relation to their own business, their own financial business, and generally manage that aspect of their lives through the various online platforms to do their business. And as you said, I know for some individuals with disabilities, they do have the concern about placing the word disability or even their type of disability on their ID card. Some people think that it will further generate, you know, more discrimination, more stigma, while others feel more comfortable about it, thinking, well, this is me, this is who I am, therefore I have no issue with it being on my national identification card. So these are conversations that we really should be having within our families, within our organizations, and I would even dare say at a national level, so that people get to understand disability is here to stay, and we need to be able to put various measures and systems in place to accommodate all types of disabilities. Well, Perry, as I talk, I forgot to mention at the top of the program, so I want to do it now, to really celebrate our fathers and wish all fathers a very happy Father's Day. Do celebrate with your children, your grandchildren, and acknowledge that you are a fantastic dad. And for those who may think that they have may not be so great, you have an opportunity to be great fathers to your own children and to others who stand in need of having a father figure in their lives. So continue to really give that support, especially your fathers who have disabilities and those who have children with disabilities. You're needed, so continue to play your role in the children's lives.
I support that 100%.
Right, so Perry, as we're talking about post-COVID-19, let's look at the area of health, because one of the good mechanisms that came out of our health system as it related to persons having to obtain medication, the Ministry of Health provided a delivery service. And I think that that is a system that should remain, because it allows so many persons with major illnesses and disabilities who have challenges in using transport or not having the finances to pay for transport to be able to access their medication without having to rely on other individuals who may not have the time or may have to take time from work or, you know. So I think that is a system that we really need to advocate for to remain as one of the positives coming out of this situation.
Let me endorse that, and I am one of those who agree with you wholeheartedly. And to tell the truth, I was told that this month is the last month that the service will be provided, and I have used the service in the past because I get medication from the hospital. And I can tell you the convenience of calling and having my medication delivered as opposed to going to the hospital and waiting extraordinarily long for medication has been a godsend for me. And I'm sure that there are many, many, many people who would echo the same sentiment that I'm echoing now. Now, I am sure that this service is free, but it is being paid for somehow. Because, you know, nothing is really free. But I am sure, I'm not going to say that everybody will agree that it should be a paid service. But if we use our common sense, we will know that if the Ministry of Health, the hospital, to provide that service after COVID-19, the money has to come from somewhere. So it is very possible that going forward for it to continue, a cost would have to be attached to it. But I would say that I am sure that 7 out of 10 people would not mind paying a small cost, because obviously a lot of those who, there are people who can't afford to pay anything or anything or a lot, as we would say in Beijing terms. But if they had to pay like $20 to have my medication delivered, I would find you $20 to pay, because the benefits of having it come to me as opposed to leaving home and going to the hospital is tremendous.
And one of the challenges that most persons complained about, particularly those who are deaf and those who are blind, is the fact that you had a ticketing system and you were not always aware of when it was your turn to collect the medication.
Well,
and the challenges with that, you know, really would be relieved in having such a delivery service.
Well, it is true, because I used to use my cell phone and put it up to the number thing and take a picture, and that's how I was able to see when my number comes. So many times when my number gone past and they run up to the vendor and they say, "Oh, my number gone." They say, "Well, I didn't see any number that my turn had come." So yes, and for those who have transportation issues, as I just said before, they have to call a ride or they have to borrow some money or find some money to pay transportation to get to the hospital or to the clinic, you know. These are things that having this service cuts them on. And there are a few more of those services that has been
rolled
out. Yes,
like the delivery of groceries,
yes. But one of the things that you have to acknowledge is that these things could have been done a long time ago.
Definitely.
And a lot of these things the disabled has been calling for a long time ago. And they went on deaf ears because they weren't done before. But this is one of those examples where we see things that the disabled have advocated for over the years came to fruition not because of the disabled calling for them, but because the ordinary person saw a need for them and aligned themselves with the same need. And sometimes I can't fault that, because sometimes our issues don't get put on the agenda because there are some that look at issues maybe more or less important, and some are put on the back burner. So that's why we say we have to ride on the wave that is happening now with those benefits.
We also need to have some very frank and fair conversations around the services, how to tweak them to be more beneficial and convenient for persons with disabilities and their family members. And as well as how do we enhance some of these services and existing programs and systems? Because when I think about education, when I think about employment, we would have been advocating and calling for employers to consider hiring persons with disabilities and allowing them to work remotely from home. And this was generally given a thumbs down. Similarly, we would have read or spoken with many individuals outside of Barbados, particularly out of the U.S., Canada, and Europe, whose children would have benefited from working, studying from home, or having a staggered schedule for the child to attend school and have the necessary support with the technology, the appropriate technology, as well as a multidisciplinary team of a psychologist, a nurse, the educator, the parent, the rehab therapist, you know, so a team that will work with the individual student and help them to reach their maximum potential. And I think that's where we need to focus a lot of our discussion and attention. How do we help not only the Barbadian with a disability, but give support to their family members? Because it can be very taxing on the family members, the siblings, the parents, the grandparents, the aunties, the uncles, the brothers. You know, it can be very taxing, financially draining, and just overwhelming at times for some family members.
Now, I do agree, working from home electronically and education from home has been something that we have been advocating for in the past. And I'm glad to see that it is being adopted now. And I'm hoping that the disabled community, now, the work isn't finished. And that now that the system is there, and we know that we wanted to have this for a long time, now we can get jobs. It doesn't necessarily work like that. Because the disabled who are in the job market and desire to do this, we still have the work to do where we convince employers that we are viable employees for their company. And that is an uphill struggle regardless of whether you're going in or regardless of whether you're working from home.
Because oftentimes the HR person, the human resource person, the manager, that individual who will consider the application from the person with a disability, if they're able to have an interview, particularly persons who are blind and have physical disabilities, there's often the concern of the individual falling or bumping into objects and damaging themselves and maybe risking lives and limbs, and then suing or, you know, causing that company to pay up money. And I want to say that research has shown that persons with disabilities tend to be more careful and have less falls, less accidents than the average person. You know, because we don't take a lot for granted. We understand our disabilities and therefore make the necessary preparatory steps to do our task.
Many years ago, the ILO said, hiring a person with disabilities makes good business sense.
Correct. And that is still true.
One of the things that needs to happen now as it relates to the disabled themselves, because we know that there are many players that has to play in order to make employment happen and education happen for a person with disabilities. So the disabled community have their work to do. And now that the
door has been opened,
the work environment has given us a little bit more level playing field. I'm not going to go so far as to say that we have a totally level playing field, but a new opportunity has opened where we can advocate equally for that job that the other person will be vying for via working from home. It is now for us to go educate, inform, and equip ourselves with those skills that when jobs do come calling, that we're able to put forward ourselves in a meaningful way for that post. Because it doesn't make any sense saying here, oh, well, job opportunities can come for the disabled working from home if there's no disabled persons to employ. And brings up the point or the issue about disabled persons accessing technology. And I would have spoken publicly before about the cost of us of accessing technology. And we would have seen it play out in the rollout for school children in Barbados to access tablets. And we had a certain amount of children who were not able to have tablets or laptops to do what the Ministry of Education needed to happen because of whatever reason. And that has existed in the disabled community for years. Now, technology does give the disabled a level playing field, but access to technology is more expensive for the disabled person than not. And that has been one of the sticking points that would have caused the disabled community not to accelerate in the use of technology than the average person because of the cost. And I say the cost of technology, meaning that they're devices that have different degree of functionality. And the more functionality you need, the more expensive the device is. And it is those functionalities that persons with disabilities generally need to access in a device in order to be an independent user of that device. So that's what we mean when we say the cost of access.
I want to encourage our listeners to take the time to look at the legislation, the tariffs that are associated with purchasing some of the same technology, the accessible technology that will be beneficial to persons with disabilities. And you would really understand the point that Perry is making in relation to the high cost as it comes to accessible technology. Because we need the technology, motorized wheelchairs, that's part of accessible technology. You know, the software for the blind, the cell phones that the blind and the deaf can truly access and use independently. So it's quite a lot that we need to really examine and think of in how we can give support to providing a better environment for our citizens with disabilities. Now, Perry, one of the other things that we touched on pretty lightly when we talked about social distancing is how do we have a good leisure time? How do we, you know, have that recreation time without really putting ourselves at higher risk of contracting the coronavirus? I know that, again, the technology comes to the aid of persons with disabilities because, you know, you're doing some exercises online, so you have the instructor there, and they're directing you what to do and how to do it. So there's the description for those who are blind, and there's the talking for those who can really hear, and the visual is there for those who can see. Then you have quite a lot of dance classes and so on. But I would want to encourage those family members to take a moment and gather together. Sometimes family can be difficult, but we have to remember what time we're in and spend a moment with our family members. Bridge that gap. If you found it difficult to converse with your family member who has a disability, make a huge effort to have a short conversation and build it from there. Well, Pero, as usual, when we are having an enjoyable conversation, time does catch up with us. And it's that time when I have to say ciao until next week. But I want to say a very special thank you for coming and just having the conversation with me so that we can encourage others and provide information for others. Thank you very much.
Thank you, too.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Eulalie Wickham-Ashby, and my special guest today, Mr. Perry Holloway, as we talked generally about disability post-COVID-19. Remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660. That's WhatsApp or regular cell call via Starcom on 1-246-430-7300 via email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That's visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And I want to say, until next week, be safe and love yourself.